We're going to continue our study of 1 John, if you want to turn there in your Bibles, 1 John chapter 4. We're right at the end of chapter 4 in 1 John. You know, there's an old joke about a pastor who keeps preaching the same sermon week after week after week after week. Finally, the church comes to him and says, "When are you going to move on? When are you going to preach a different sermon?" And the pastor says, "When you do this one." And that actually has some basis in history, believe it or not. If you read the writings of one of the early church fathers, Jerome, he talks about John, who wrote this letter that we've been studying. He says this: "When the blessed evangelist John the Apostle had lived in Ephesus into his extreme old age and could hardly be carried into the meetings of the church by the disciples, when in speaking he could no longer put together many words, he would not say anything else in the meetings but this: little children, love one another. When at last the disciples and brothers present got tired of hearing the same thing from him again and again and again, they asked, 'Master, why do you keep saying the same thing?' And John replied, 'Because it's the Lord's command, and because it's enough if it's truly done.'" It's going to seem like we're going to talk again about the one another's and about God's love and how it works in us and through us to others. We're going to talk again about the love of God today and in the one another's, and it's going to seem like we've been doing this for months. But if it seems that way, I'm only being faithful to the text, because that's what John gives us. That's again what he gives us today. So 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 17, it is up here behind me. "In this, love was made complete with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Instead, perfect love drives out fear, because fear involves punishment. So the one who fears is not complete in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, 'I love God,' and yet hates his brother or sister, he is a liar. For the person who does not love his brother and sister whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And we have this command from him: the one who loves God must also love his brother and sister." So, again, he wants to talk about love and about the one another's of, and we've talked about how there are about 60 one another's in the New Testament. Love one another, bear one another's burdens, etc. Be kind to one another. About 60 of them, and they are all fulfilled in church. They're all fulfilled in the community of God. And so he's going to talk again, he tells us again about the love one another's today. And he uses the word complete and perfect a few times. So let's understand what that word means. Because the Greek word for perfect for us means without flaw, ideal, wonderful. And that idea is there in the Greek word. But even greater than that, it is the idea of complete, finished, something that has accomplished its goal, something that has accomplished what it aimed to do. That's the Greek idea of complete or perfect. And so the implication here is that God's love is made complete. It accomplishes its goal when it reaches us, works in us, and then works through us to one another. And there's a couple of pictures here that I want you to pick up. The first one is the circle or cycle that we have been talking about, how God's love comes to us. It works in us. It works through us to others, which shows our love for God. So we have this cycle of love. And we've talked about that quite a bit. Now, a couple of things I haven't mentioned about that, although I have mentioned this: the Christian life was not meant to be lived in isolation. Because think about this completed circle of love. If you are outside the community of God, you are outside the circle. You have taken yourself out. God's love can still reach you. It can still work in you. But you are missing the love of one another. You're missing a part. You're missing a part of the cycle. If when you take yourself out of church, take yourself out of the community of God, you are missing part of the cycle. But there's a greater thing that I want you to pick up on here. If the idea is that it accomplished its goal, if God's love accomplished its goal, then it had to have a goal, right? We can only understand accomplishing a goal if we understand the goal. What was the goal of God's love? You. You. You, and you are the target, focus, and purpose of the love of God. The target, focus, and purpose of God's love is you. And so it cannot accomplish its goal. It cannot complete or be perfected in you until it reaches you, until you accept it. You are the target, focus, and purpose of the love of God. Now, God's love is the greatest, strongest power in the world. It has been the basis upon which God has dealt with mankind throughout history, from Adam and Eve on. And that love had a goal. It had a purpose. It had a target. You. You are that goal. When God's love reaches you, it has accomplished its purpose. It's accomplished its goal. So John tells us that the love of God reached us, then we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Now, because we are loved that much, we can have confidence before God. Our sin has been dealt with on the cross. It's been dealt with. Now, here's the thing. We've been in the business of hiding sin since Adam and Eve, right? The first thing they did, they hid from God. And so we've been in this business of hiding sin since then. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's from chapter 1. So our sin's dealt with. So how do we have confidence before God? We know our sin has been dealt with. We know that Christ died in our place on that cross. We know we are like Him as He is in this world. As He says, as He is, so also are we in this world. Now, what is He talking about? Does this mean that we're going to be flawless and perfect? I hope not. No, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean we're going to be flawless and perfect. It doesn't mean that we're going to be a God like Him. What it means is that we are positionally like Christ. We are a son or daughter of God. We are in this world as Jesus was in this world, a son or daughter of God. And so we have this position with God as a child of God. So this gives us confidence in the day of judgment because we are going to stand before God. But our sin has been dealt with. Our present is enlivened. Our future is secure because of the love of God. Because the love of God has accomplished its goal in our heart. Because the love of God has come to us, worked in us, and works through us to others. We have confidence before God because of all this. So he talks about fear. There's no fear in love. Instead, perfect love, which is the love that's accomplished its goal, drives out fear because fear involves punishment. So one who fears is not yet complete in love. He hasn't accepted and completed the love of God yet. People fear their past, their present, and their future. We fear our past because we have been in the business of hiding sin for our entire lives, for generations, since Adam and Eve. Mankind has been in the business of hiding sin. So we fear our past. We fear our present because, I mean, just watch the news. Everything gives you anxiety today. If you turn on the news at 6, by 6:05, you're anxious. You're worried. We fear the present. And we fear our future. because we don't know what it looks like. But the gospel deals with all of this, doesn't it? The gospel comes and says, your past is dealt with. Jesus died for it. It's over. If you have repented of your sin, if you have confessed your sin, it doesn't exist anymore. It's gone. It's done. Your present is enlivened. It's empowered by the very Spirit of God. And your future is secure. Secure because Christ has paid the price for your sin. So the gospel comes and says there is no fear in love because there's no punishment. Because we don't need to fear what God will do because we know He loves us. In fact, we cannot be separated from His love. Paul put it this way. He said in Romans 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. That's where our confidence lies. Our confidence lies in the fact that the most powerful force on earth, the love of God, is in us. You are the target, focus, and purpose of the love of God, and when it's completed in you, you are empowered. Your past dealt with, your present empowered, your future secure. So anxiety just has no room here. Fear has no room here. Because at some point, your fear has to face the God you know. And the God you know loves you. Loves you enough to come and die in your place on that cross to save you. That's the God you know. And your fear has to face that. Has it? Now, verse 20 also talks about this fear. It's kind of the, verse 20 talks a little bit about the fear of being found out. He says, actually, that you're liars. If you say you love God but don't love one another, then you're a liar, a poser, we might call it today. You know, posing as a Christian is difficult work. It's hard work. Being a Christian requires energy, but it's energy that you're given by God. It's energy given by the Spirit of God. So it isn't difficult. It's a joy. So as John says, you can't be afraid of being found out. Instead, just be real. Just be authentically Christ's. And you don't have any of these fears. You don't have the fear of being found out. You don't have the fear of what you might have said to somebody. You don't have the fear of any of it because you know Christ. And in Christ, you are filled with love. And perfect love casts out fear, he tells us here. So when God's love reaches its goal, you, we need not fear being found out. It again doesn't mean you're going to be perfect, but you are perfectly loved. So you don't have to be perfect. You are perfectly loved. You confess your sin. He forgives you based upon His righteousness and His faithfulness, and the sin is done. That's how God works. Now, I skipped over verse 19 kind of on purpose because I wanted to end today looking at verse 19. Verse 19 says, we love because He first loved us. We love secondarily because He loves us primarily. We cannot love apart from God. True love only comes from God because, as John has already told us in this chapter, God is love. God is love. And so if you want to imagine a world where there is no love, and I know if you watch the news, you might think we live in it now, but we don't yet. It's not there yet. because there is still kindness in this world. There is still goodness in this world. You take away love and all of that goes away. Imagine a place where there is no love and therefore no kindness, no mercy, no forgiveness, no goodness of any kind. That place exists. It's called hell. Now, we have a lot of different descriptions of what hell looks like. But the important thing is that it's eternal separation from God. So it's eternal separation from love and all of love's byproducts. Goodness, kindness, mercy, forgiveness. All of those things separated. That's what hell has to be because it's separated from the presence of God, and God is love. So we've been talking about the love of God for weeks because John tells us to. Because it was so important to John that it was almost his last words on earth were, little children, love one another. We have been talking about this love, the love of God coming to us, working in us, and working through us to others, this cycle. I pointed out today maybe the most important thing that John tells us, and that is that love is perfected, it's completed, because it's accomplished its goal when you receive it. You are the target, focus, and purpose of the love of God. That's kind of incredible, isn't it? That's kind of incredible. So I need to ask you, have you received the love of God? Are you completed, perfected in the love of God? I'm going to ask that you bow your heads and just answer that simple question. Do you know the love of God? Are you empowered by it? Are you secured in it? Do you know the love of God? Because you can this morning. You can pray along with me in your own words and just simply say, God, I know I have sin in my life. I've done things wrong. I've said things wrong. I've thought things wrong. And I know the Bible calls that sin. But I choose to trust the love of God that has come in Jesus Christ. I choose to trust that He has died in my place on that cross to pay my price. And so I ask you to forgive me based entirely on what Jesus has done on that cross. And I ask you to come in and come into my life, empower my life with your love. If you prayed that prayer for the first time this morning, you need to let somebody know. Come and let me know. Elbow your neighbor, let them know. Maybe this morning you know Christ, but you've been caught up in the hate of the world this week. Just seen so much that has drawn you away from the love of God. Will you take this moment to recommit yourself to live His love in your life? Father, we thank you for this, your word. Father, we thank you for this constant reminder in John that your love comes to us, works in us, and goes through us to others, which shows our love for you. Keep us mindful of this, Father, for this, as John said, if it's truly done, it's enough. Keep us mindful. We thank you and we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.